You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. An afternoon drive home like no other.
I led the way.
You were a trailblazer.
Abraham, I said, I'm taking you into the desert here.
Was your brother-in-law veteran enough to know not to go right after you?
He waited. He finished his drink, and he let a few other people go in, and then he circled in.
That's a 700-game veteran.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight down at Scotiabank. Ottawa's in town. We'll tee that up throughout the hour. Raptors with a big win last night. Now they head down to Atlanta. And the trade deadline going down tomorrow. LeBron, his teammates, it sounds like they hate him. Shout out to the Pacers fans last night. Great chanting. Very creative,
yes,
chanting.
Very creative.
When Brandon Ingram was at the line, JaVale McGee was at the line. Either LeBron wants to trade you, or you're not tradable based on who you are as a player.
Right.
I support that kind of material.
That's kind of like, it's gotten to be an ugly situation where it's...
Well, everyone knows,
like,
LeBron is running the
operation.
Imagine
the toxicity in that locker room.
Yeah.
That's awful, man.
It's brutal. And they're out of a playoff spot. The Lakers are out of the playoffs right now. So even with LeBron, right, not much is changing right now when it comes to the LA Lakers. So Ryan Dempster will join us later in the hour. Some really interesting reports out there in terms of what Major League Baseball may be looking at doing, including something pertaining to the trade deadline, which I 100% support, and I think they need to do. Tell you that. Talk about that later in the hour. And some pitching changes as well in terms of how many batters each pitcher have to face and a pitch clock. I don't know if that's actually going to help or if it's going to be legislated properly, but we'll see what Ryan Dempster has to say about that. It's coming up in about 20 minutes. Rare 6 p.m. appearance from Jerry. We're going to get to him in a moment because we had Paul Maurice on at 5:30. So we don't bump Jerry for many people.
No, not at all.
1,500 games in the league behind a bench. Jerry's getting bumped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way it works. We haven't mentioned today your new briefcase.
I know.
We haven't even brought this up. You got the. You want to? We're up on TSN 2. Why don't you show it to the people? Louis Vuitton.
It's a Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton Pacific Mall briefcase.
Exactly. Spelling wrong.
Do you think it's 100% legit, Louis, or is it fake?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how you tell.
You bought it online.
Well, you
right?
know I like antiques and stuff, right? So I went briefcase, and I'm full briefcase guy.
Yeah.
So I found this on eBay, and it's older. Like, it's really old.
What do you mean really old?
This is old, man. Like, this thing has been through wars. This thing has done a drug deal or two, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's had a...
But I don't know how to tell if it's real.
It's had a handcuff on it at some point, and it's, you know, you handcuff it to yourself and into that arm there.
Speaking of which, right around the corner from me, the bank right around the corner was robbed this morning.
What?
Yeah, there was a robbery in my neighborhood. And
who robs banks anymore?
I don't
know. Cameras and real time. Like, did they get away?
Yeah, they got away. That's another thing. It's almost amazing that they got away, but... I don't know why I thought of that, just because of the whole handcuff, Louis Vuitton, fake Louis Vuitton briefcase.
There was a lady that got robbed at a convenience store in Mississauga, and she started attacking the guy with bananas.
I heard about that, and I support that woman.
We love her.
Stones of steel. Imagine,
we love her.
Imagine fighting off someone trying to rob your store with a bushel of bananas.
And didn't back down, actually took a fighting stance.
Yeah. That was in like Etobicoke, wasn't it?
A Mississauga.
Mississauga.
You don't want to see that because...
No.
The police,
she was
tell
the first
that,
star, though, the whole
yeah,
week.
For sure. Yeah. Police say, don't fight the intruder. Just give him the money and move on. But she had had enough.
No. She said, take this banana
and stuff it.
Yeah.
And sadly, if you own a convenience store, it's probably not your first rodeo.
That's crazy.
You know, that's kind of...
That. There was a video out there online. I watched it about 20 times over.
Yeah. I watched it a lot, too.
It was great.
But that's the thing, man. You own a convenience store, or if you're like a bank teller, you never know what's coming at you.
Dude, it's very simple for me. If I'm a convenience store owner, you do what the gas stations do. You just have a little window. You say, what do you want? You want darts? You want a pack of gum? You're not coming in.
Yeah, the bulletproof window.
The bulletproof window where it's like, here's your stuff, give me the money, and goodbye.
And you got the arm that goes out. Put the cash in, pull it in.
Yeah, if it's $12.75, give me $10. Get lost.
It's so welcoming. When you walk in, you're like, this guy's behind 6 inches of bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
What, like, what, are we in a war zone?
But think of how scary it could be for somebody who's just, like, I'm being honest, somebody that just works an honest living, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. pitch dark out, nobody around, and some guy walks in, and he's probably had 15 drinks, and he's a menace looking.
Tell you what, Vancouver is the capital of, like, Jeremy Taggart was out there. He's like, we can't do the show tomorrow. He does a podcast. He does live shows. All of our stuff got stolen. My computer bag got stolen. Every time I look on Twitter, because I follow now the Vancouver police, people steal stuff out there.
Me, it's everywhere.
I've never seen anything like it.
It's everywhere. Petty theft is everywhere. But, you want to catch them.
Or get them back with bananas.
Exactly.
One or the other.
My friend and I caught a guy breaking into my brother's car years
nice.
Ago. Didn't
just
go well for
a little
him.
Little man conversation with
it
that
didn't
guy.
Didn't go well for him, I'll tell you that.
Okay. You guys want to hear from Jerry this week?
Yes.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages brought to you by our friends at BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let Best Portuguese Chicken do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. He's ready to hear
yes.
from Jerry. I believe he has a statement out of the gates. I can confirm. I don't have to deny. Let's hear from Jerry.
As many, if not all of you pigeons know, Jerry is not one to be trifled with. And it has come to my attention that three of you bozos will be traveling to Vegas next Wednesday. And thus won't be broadcasting this garbage heap of a radio show. So I, Jerry, demand that next week's Jerry's percentages are moved to Thursday. Maybe even live in studio because a trip to Sin City is so long overdue for this Hall of Famer. Hey, Spearmint Rhino, Jerry's coming in hot.
So there you have it. We're not going to be technically on the air. The show will be on next Wednesday, but we'll be back on Thursday live from Vegas, and maybe Jerry will be in studio.
A little bit of a choppy hot take from you.
I was going to say, you sounded about as comfortable as Trump did reading the teleprompter last night. Like, was that scripted? I thought Jerry's winging it these days.
Yeah, he was not doing anything there.
No, there wasn't much flow to that script. No. All right, let's get to the hot takes.
The only bigger joke than TSN employing you clowns is the Edmonton Oilers pretending they're actually a pro hockey team. But just for Jerry's and giggles, I'll throw this cayenne pepper of a hot take on the line. One of the Oilers or Canucks will grab the final wild card spot out west.
I like that.
Jerry's and giggles.
Jerry's and giggles. I like that.
That is a cayenne pepper of a take. He's got one of the Canadian teams getting in there. I mean, they're in the bunch with the other disasters.
Eight teams for two spots, really. Seven teams for two spots. Because do you have to include L.A.?
I'm going to go 35%.
35%, one of those two teams get in.
I have to be consistent, guys. I've said that they would make the playoffs because if I look at all of the disasters, the only thing they have going for them is 97. And 97 is the best of the lot. Can he do that? I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
35 is a bit rich for me. I'm 22%.
Well, before I throw mine out, obviously you feel better about Edmonton than Vancouver. Do you think Edmonton has got a
97?
Yeah, he looks defeated to me. But
he had two apples last night.
He gets two apples in his sleep.
You're right, but Draisaitl is, people are forgetting, this guy's on a 100-point pace. He scored his 31st last night.
I hear you, but if a tree falls in the desert, in the forest.
You're right. No, you're
George Bush.
Holy smokes, but yeah. So you're saying just Vancouver or Edmonton or the whole lot?
No, it's one of Vancouver or Edmonton are going to get into the playoffs. One of those two. That's what Jerry's saying.
But if I...
Doesn't matter which one. Well, you don't have to pick one. I'm asking subplot within the Jerry's.
Okay.
Which one... Because we just assume Edmonton, I'm with you because of McDavid. Maybe Vancouver's better.
You're right.
They're ahead of them in the playoffs.
But what
I'm standings.
Saying is that neither one of them could, too, because it could be Colorado
Absolutely.
And St. Louis. So that's why I was going a little bit... I was trying to play the percentages.
Okay, what's
if
your number?
If it's just between those two...
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
not.
I say. 22%.
I didn't mean to confuse you.
Yeah.
It's in general.
Yeah, 22.
So including Chicago, Colorado, all
22.
Those teams.
He's 35, I'm 22.
35, 22. I don't feel good about any of these teams. Like, I think even with the Mikko Koivu news today, and it just came out an hour ago, he's done for the year. I think Minnesota's clear they're in. We're talking about the second wild card, I think. I kind of feel like St. Louis is going to get there now. Like, they, I thought they would be better than they were to start the year. I know you don't love this goalie, and maybe...
I don't love him. I just, it's...
But I don't like Edmonton's goalie. I don't know about Vancouver's goalie. Arizona's got a backup because their guy's done for the year.
Yeah, Camper.
It's got to be between.
Colorado
percentage has got to be between 20 and 30.
Vancouver's goalie could be the best out of the Markstrom.
I'm going to say 40%.
Yeah,
so 40%. You actually have a. I'm a little bit higher than both of you. I think it's a crapshoot. You're giving me two teams against the field, and they're all brutal. One of these awful teams has to get in.
Up, though. That's the thing. You know,
we'll see.
There's lots going on.
All this offer sheet talk throughout the NHL is making Jerry a very happy man. Who knows, maybe a few American teams will fleece a Canadian team. But I'm certain at least one RFA will sign an offer sheet this summer. All you in Canada think it's going to be Mitch Marner. Don't bet on that. There's lots of good players south of the border.
He's right. I mean, Jerry's right. There's a lot of very quality players out there.
I'm
one offer sheet, he's saying?
Yeah. Just one. It doesn't matter who it is. You're high on this.
Not Toronto.
No, I know.
I'm looking
it could
at
be anybody.
Winnipeg. I'm looking at teams that could be jammed up because of a scenario, because of cap situation. And it almost could be the equivalent, like Bob was saying. You know, you're looking. I think Marner will get done, but now is it Kapanen just to jam up a situation? Is it somebody else? Is it Kyle Connor in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start to look around the league. So
I'm going to say 70% because just because there's so much talk about it, and I think GMs are going to be like,
take a
man, oh, like how could you not have done that?
I'm higher,
and I'm not obviously. I've been a big proponent of saying, why are you always talking about Mitch Marner? There's amazing players out there. One of them will get one.
Okay, 70%.
I'm 78%. This guy just sent in, if a tree falls in the desert.
There's an old saying in Texas. Sure, it's here
maybe
in Oklahoma.
Maybe it's in Carolina.
Whoever it was, Tennessee or whatever.
We got to hear this clip because it's just so legendary. Yeah.
If a tree falls in the desert.
I knew what you meant. If a tree falls, nobody cares. You know, like,
Aspen.
Yeah.
Aspen, California. Here's... I'm actually pretty fascinated with this whole topic, the idea of an offer sheet, because I think this will challenge this idea that it's a new era. You know, we talked a lot about it yesterday. Players are betting on themselves. They're looking at what's going on in the NBA. Well, the proof will be in the pudding here if any of them actually have the courage to sign the deal.
Right.
I think there's a very good chance teams will be looking to extend them. I'm not convinced the players in the NHL are going to be willing to accept them. I'm still not convinced of that. So I'm going to say 49%.
Yeah,
I'm just into the minority because you can offer them all you want.
Right.
But Matthew Tkachuk may say, I don't want to leave Calgary.
And I'm not jamming up my
teammates. And I'm not going to jam them up.
Yeah,
and Kyle
right.
Connor might be like, I don't want to leave Winnipeg. But I'm not going to screw them over to sign an offer sheet in Florida.
You're right. It could be that second layer of a guy that is going to get a two-year bridge deal or he's going to get a large offer sheet from somebody else and says, I got to look out for myself here. And I don't mind that other organization, and I'm going to play second fiddle to X, Y, and Z anyways.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm thinking.
That will be proof, but even those players then have to prove I'm willing to do it.
Right.
You know, someone's got to take that step, because if it really is a new era, someone's got to.
I think the league is shifting.
We'll see.
Maybe this is the year they do it.
Both Manny Machado and Bryce Harper will remain unsigned by the time full team workouts begin in a couple weeks. Bryce Harper will be combing his hair, waiting for the Yankees to step up with an offer. He'll be at Scores in New York waiting. Jerry and Bill Daly love it there.
Just the choppiest ever. This 6 p.m., you know.
He'll be at Scores.
Segment, I know.
Yeah.
For starters, I think Harper is pretty religious, so I don't think he will be at Scores.
Really?
I think so. But
Vegas, I know a lot of religious people.
No. Well, that's true, I guess. But
I do not read
the Yankees.
Things.
I mean, the Yankees, it's not going to happen with Harper because they've already got Judge. You've already got Stanton in the outfield.
Judge said today. We'll make it work.
Well, of course. He would love that, but I don't see Harper. I mean, Machado always made more sense. Pitchers and catchers report in a week. like camps are wide open in 2 weeks.
That's
like
bizarre. Thinking that these two guys don't even have a roster.
The thing is, they're not alone. Like there's, you know, Moustakas is out there. You've got Keuchel's still out there. Kimbrel's still out there.
Don't you think one guy signs and there's a trickle down effect? And the one guy, maybe he's a guy that takes a little bit of a discount, and then that sets the marketplace for them.
I think that's what they're concerned about, aren't they?
That's what people are like, okay, I'm not flinching. If you want to flinch, go ahead. Yeah. And flinching is taking 275 instead of 300
right.
million.
Like Harper's still getting 250 plus, right. I would think, for sure. Might be loaded with options, and he can opt in or opt
maybe
out or whatever. Maybe not. I mean, we've gone this far. I don't know. But I don't think... They're both going to be in there. I think there's a good chance they're both still unsigned in 2 weeks. Like, we've gone this far.
Yeah.
It's such a game of chicken. I'm going to say 55%. 55% chance that both of them are still unsigned in 2 weeks.
I'm lower.
I'm zero.
You think one of them is definitely going? Oh, at least one of them will sign between now.
I think both
now.
Of them.
I'm 37%. I'm right in the middle, but I think one of them goes. One of them is like, okay... I get it, I want to play, but at some point you just got to figure it out financially. If an organization's interested in you and the number, you know, you're stumbling between, it's probably, you know, 20 million.
But that's what I'm saying. That's a big chunk. And you've got Scott Boras, Harper's agent, who I think has clearly promised him, I'm getting you $350 million.
Oh, it started at 500.
Yeah, that's what it was a couple years ago. It was he's getting 500, Machado's getting 400. And obviously they've come to a conclusion that's not happening. They're not getting anywhere close to it. But someone's got to go.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of really, really quality players.
I wonder if they're in contact with each other. The camps going, all right.
What are you hearing? Where are you at?
Yeah. It would almost have to be.
And you got to think about what teams are involved. You keep hearing Philly, the White Sox.
Right.
Yeah, because you can call teams bluffs. If a team says, oh, this is our max, and then they have a different max for somebody else, you can just call them back and say, you're full of it. Because that's not your max for him, so what are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if agents do that. I don't think they do.
I don't think they do, but
worry about your own player.
In this scenario, you might want to at least have a conversation with the other guy and go, you know, where are you at?
Are you even close to what you thought
exactly.
you would be?
Like
Machado probably knows I'm going to be a little bit lower, but like,
right.
where are you at? Are you actually talking $300 million so I can be legitimately talking $250?
Right.
Or are you at like $225 and I got to be talking $175?
Exactly. I think that would make sense.
At least one of the Rams or Patriots will return to the Super Bowl next season.
That son of a... Tom Brady, he'll be back there, and God knows what Gronk's up to.
I'm 90%.
90 that one of them is
New
in
England.
There? Rams or Pats?
I think 95% one of them's back there.
He laid it out for us, was it yesterday or the day before? You said, take a look at who they have to play against. They got to really win two games.
Yeah, well, in the AFC
East. Same thing every year.
Yeah.
Win the division, bye week, win a big game, and go to the Super Bowl.
They've been there 3 years in a row. I'm betting against the field. I'm taking the field. I don't think the Pats get there 4 years in a row. I don't.
They're going to win the division. They're going to get a bye week.
I know.
They got to win a tough game.
With what
you see right now in their division and conference, like what?
Well, Kansas City, I believe, will come back and still be very good. I think the Chargers will be good. You know, there's other teams in the conference, not in the division.
Here's how impressive the Rams.
I don't know.
The Pats' run has been. Somebody put an article out today. I read a bit of it. Is the window closing on the Rams? I'm like, come on.
I know.
Did you read that?
I didn't, but how could the window be closing? Unless Todd Gurley is a real problem. You sent me that piece where he blew off the media. He didn't talk to the media and when they were cleaning out their locker. He didn't play in the Super Bowl.
I thought that was gutless.
It is. Like
it's your last day of the season. Like, just go in and be a pro and answer some questions and move on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Even if you have to walk in and say, if a tree falls in the desert.
Do you have that?
Does anybody
we'll
hear
get it later, I'm sure. But no, I'm low. 25%. Even that isn't even that low.
No, it's
like
not
in the world of the parity and turnover here, you know, I don't think the Patriots are gonna get there again next year. I just don't I can't even give you a reason.
We keep saying that the wheels are gonna fall off.
I know that. But other
win
than
the division,
4 years
bye week,
in a row,
win a big game, Super Bowl.
No, I'm low on that.
Kyle Lowry Lowry will still be with the Raptors at the beginning of next season. Masai might want to avoid any stopping chats with number 7 in the foreseeable future.
Because Kyle might come out swinging.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of stopping chats going on with Masai and Kyle these days.
They're not best buddies. They don't need to be, and they're not, and who cares?
Yeah, I don't think Kyle's going anywhere between now and tomorrow, which means he's here for the rest of the year. He's one of the longest, if not the longest, standing Raptor. He's a huge piece. But the summer changes everything. If Kawhi sticks around, it might change the way they approach the point guard position and Kyle and putting him onto the market. And there's some smoke. I don't know if there's fire in terms of the Raptors talking to Memphis and maybe wanting to move on from Kyle. I think it's like 60% he's still here to start next season. I don't think it's a guarantee that he's back next year.
I'm
60%.
I'm lower.
Go 30.
I'm lower because if Kawhi exits and they've got to make some moves.
That will change the whole course of the organization.
26%.
All right.
I'm a 30 spot.
Jerry's at 6 p.m.
Jerry was off today.
Yeah, I don't know. He had no rhythm.
Like, no, he had no tempo.
It was the pregame speech was a little lengthy. That's what it was.
You think so?
That's what it was.
That was terrible.
Maybe he's excited about going to Vegas.
The questions were good. I thought the topics were terrific.
He just wasn't very good, but he can make it up in Jerry's After Dark.
That's right. Send in your tweets now at HayesTSN, at Overdrive 1050. Text us 105050 or email us live at tsn1050.ca. If there was a topic that Jerry missed, send it our way, and Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Ryan Dempster going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. He's now an analyst. We'll get his take on some of these reports out there for potential rule changes. Is he working on his speech? Is he going to wing it?
Yeah.
He's a great guest. Always a fun guy to catch up with. Ryan Dempster will join us next. All right, Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Bunch of takes we missed out on, or Jerry missed out on. A lot of stuff is pouring in, including if a mountain lion leaped at you, would you be able to survive and take it down?
To defend yourself.
Defend yourself.
I got to look this story up.
But who is it? Is it like, what's the percentage on?
Looks like 100.
I mean, did you hear about that story in Colorado?
No, I know, but who is the percentage on it? A lion attacked you, me?
Basically, individually. Jerry is saying if a mountain lion lunged at the three of us, we would be able to survive. I don't feel good about my chances. No. I'll be honest.
I'm a 50-50.
I don't think I could survive a mountain lion attack.
I'm scared of dying, so I would probably grab some car keys and scratch its eyes out somehow.
This guy was jogging, though.
He was in, like, the woods. He was in the mountains or something in Colorado. Luckily, he didn't have headphones in.
Yeah,
he's listening to, like, the Overdrive podcast.
Just gets mauled.
Yeah, you're in big trouble. All right, we got a Hall of Famer on the line. This is always great. You guys always bug me because whenever I reset, I'm always like, with Canadian Baseball Hall of Famer, and you're like, all right, that's enough.
Yes.
But he is one of the great ball players in the history of our country.
Exactly.
Longtime major leaguer, now an analyst. Here's Ryan Dempster. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing outstanding, and I was listening in there before you guys tuned me in, and I don't think you give yourself enough credit. I think you could handle a mountain lion, no problem.
What would you do? Would you just strangle it like the dude did in Colorado, or what?
Now, I'd probably go a rear naked choke, and then I'd just like slowly tap it out, and then I'd let him go, and maybe name him, and then go visit him or her and her offspring every winter.
What is a rear naked choke?
Oh, it's a great wrestling move.
Is that like the roasted turkey?
You got to get there and you use your legs too. Make sure you use your whole body, and then it's a big move. Hoist Gracie kind of perfected that.
He would tap out.
Go ahead,
yeah, that'd be outstanding. Yeah. A UFC ref falls out of the tree and starts tapping him out. Yeah, that's actually not. I mean, you're from BC. You probably have to deal with wildlife. You have at some point in your life, right? What's the craziest animal you've come across?
Honestly, probably bear. I remember one time I actually being in my house, and my mom, we lived on like 10 acres, and my dad was the fire chief at the time, and he had this fire chief van, and my mom went to go put the trash out. She came running in, there's a bear, and I was like, what? And I went to the window, and the bear is out in our trash area. So my mom's freaking out, so she calls my dad. He shows up in this fire chief's van, and the bear had dragged our trash over to underneath this big tree we had. And so my dad pulls the van up, turns the sirens on, and the bear just gets both paws up on the front of the truck and just kind of sniffs around. He's like, "Nah, I'm good with this leftover food your mom threw away," and he went right back to the garbage. And
wow.
My dad went back the truck up, grabbed the big huge rock, trying to scare the bear away, throws it at the bear. The bear comes back to the truck, gets all around the driver's side door, and then he just went right back. And they eventually came and used a tranquilizer gun and put him back to his home somewhere up on the top of Mount Elphinstone.
Wild, man.
That's impressive.
I guess what else can you do? You start the siren, and if the guy's like, "I don't care, if the bear isn't going to budge, what are you going to do?"
You run him over with the van.
My dad had the suggestion of me getting out of the car and trying to, like, see if he'd chase me away, but I just didn't think that was very nice of a dad to do to a 15-year-old, you know?
No, you wouldn't be going into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Off-season training right there.
That's right. With Ryan Dempster, and again, you're going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame this summer, and you seem like a guy that might wing the speech. Is that your plan? Are you going to write a speech, or are you going to wing it, or what?
No, I think a little bit of both. I'm definitely going to write one. I have a lot of people I want to thank, and a lot of things that I'm appreciative for over the years. So I want to make sure I don't forget anybody. But I'm sure there'll be some ad libbing going on, and a few little fun moments of whatever I can provide. But I'm super honored and flattered and humbled. And as a kid, you dream about a lot of things. You know, you dream about pitching in Game 7 of the World Series. You dream about winning the Cy Young and stuff like that. And while you think about things like, "Oh, I'm going to be a Hall of Famer," it's never really a true possibility in your mind. You're too busy in it. And then when it all gets done, you sit back and you kind of look at things. And I still wasn't even really thinking about it. I knew it was maybe a possibility just because I played for so long and being a Canadian ball player, but then to get that call from Scott in the Hall of Fame to just say that I was being inducted, and I'm just super. It's really, really special for me. I'm proud of where I'm from. I'm proud of being a Canadian. I've been proud to put the uniform on as a Canadian ball player multiple times, and now to go in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame is, it's incredible. It really is.
With Ryan Dempster, a longtime Major League pitcher, again, he's going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in 2019. You are the perfect guy to catch up with, because I'm sure you're aware of this, that the potential rule changes in baseball are on the table. I guess there's a bit of a back and forth ongoing right now with MLB and the Players Association, and a couple of reports are out there in terms of what could potentially happen, if not in 2019, maybe in 2020. As a pitcher, I mean, I'm sure you've got some feelings on this. One of the potential rules, or the projected rule changes, would include a minimum of 3 batters faced. So obviously this doesn't apply to starters, but for bullpen, relievers, this is going to change a lot. There's no more, "Hey, you come in, throw a pitch, get a guy out, and boom, we go back out to the mound and switch things up." How would you feel about, relievers being forced to face a minimum of 3 batters within the inning?
I'm on the fence about that one. I understand it. I understand it from multiple levels, from generating more offense to speeding up the game. It does get tiresome watching, let's go to the righty, then the lefty, then the righty, then the lefty. Like, literally, you'll see 4 pitching changes in an inning. And, I think you're going to have guys finding out about themselves. Maybe like a left-handed reliever who didn't have a 3rd pitch is all of a sudden going to have to get one because he's going to have to manage navigating and facing more right-handers, and vice versa. It'll definitely generate a little bit more offense. You're going to have, managing bullpens, not just in a game, but throughout a course of a season, because now, what was coming in and facing a guy and throwing 5 pitches turns into 23 pitches and unavailable the next day. So there's so many layers that fall under that are more than just on the surface of, speeding the game up and generating more offense. But I kind of like it. I like that for generating more offense than I do things like lowering the mound again. I mean, how many more times? When do we start just throwing underhand?
No kidding.
So these guys,
so they can hit it.
How about I got a good idea? I had this novel idea for speeding up the game of baseball and generating offense. It's called calling the strike zone the size of the strike zone in the rule book. If we did that, then guys would swing the bat, because they're not trying to generate walks because they get paid for on-base percentage. They'll have to swing the bat. And when you swing the bat, like anything. I actually was just throwing batting practice to my son before this phone call, and I said, the more you swing, the more swings we take, the easier it's going to be to hit. And that's the truth. When you get in those habits, now all of a sudden, you know, Vladimir Guerrero had no problem swinging the bat and putting the bat on the ball because that's what he did. His philosophy wasn't, I'm going to sit here and wait for you to walk me. I'm tired of 3-2 every single count in baseball. Why not swing it? And when you do that, the game moves faster and things happen. I'm not talking about calling it like the Braves got it in the day when it was a foot off the plate outside. I'm just talking about from the bottom of the armpits down to the top of the knees, and let's go from there.
The new rule, Brian, the guy that just says, I don't have it today, you're going to find it. You better find it.
No kidding. Well, that kind of sounds, Ryan, like maybe I'm putting words in your mouth or making an assumption here, but you would support a robotic umpire. Would you support that or what?
No, not. I mean, I'm not. I think these guys, the umpires, I don't think they've changed over the years. I think we just notice it now more because I didn't know there was a bad umpire in San Francisco when I'm in Chicago back in 1955 or 1972 or 1992 or 2002. But now with Twitter and social media and the amount of things that we can show everybody in the world how bad a call was over and over, you barely read anything in the paper. Now they're constantly under pressure. I know that sucks to pitch when you feel that way, when you just feel on the edge. Like if I make one mistake, everybody's going to know it. So I imagine being an umpire is really tough. And that's just part of the game. And I just like umpires. There's some umpires. Joe West, everybody complains about him. He's one of the best strike calling umpires in the league. He is so good at balls and strikes. Tim McClellan, who is just a long time umpire, so good at balls and strikes. And also, too, maybe a guy isn't true to the actual strike zone in a sense. But his eyes, he's consistent with his strike zone. And that's your job as a player. I knew that as a starting pitcher. Who's behind the plate today? Does he give off the corner? Does he give up in the zone? Does he give down in the zone? You know, and those are things that if you do your homework, that's the reason I think you play a long time in the league is because you know those things, and those little things are what, you know, helps you have success and maybe gain an edge on somebody that otherwise is sitting there complaining, oh, that ball's outside. Yeah, we know. He calls outside. He does every game. So I love having an umpire back there. I love them being able to talk to each other. Now you can't argue anything because, you know, once again, it gets all over TV and it makes the game maybe look a little bad. But a little emotion. I love the old days where guys would yell at an umpire and the umpire would yell at him and then he'd yell back at him and then they'd go out there and get each other's face and then they'd go, all right, it's still an out. Okay, cool. I'll go back to the dugout. Now you can't even look at him funny. Otherwise, they literally throw you out for giving them an intimidating look.
Yeah, it's changed so much, the dynamic, and that's where I was going to go with you. Was there a certain ump for you that you just knew that he didn't call you well, even though, like you just talked about, yeah, this guy, you knew his tendencies. For myself, and I don't know if Jeff O'Neill had the same situation in the National Hockey League, there were certain refs would. You knew that they were going to call a bad game against you. And not personally, but these were guys that just, for some reason, I didn't like that guy. And I don't think he liked me or he didn't like my team. And you just knew you were going to get a greasy call at some point. Did you ever have that type of experience with, you don't need to name names, it's just, did you ever have a guy that you was kind of like, in Seinfeld terms, your Newman?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, there was definitely umpires that, you know, there was umpires you could talk to. There was umpires that if you questioned a call, well, you weren't getting a call the rest of the day. Yeah. And maybe those were more old school umpires because they try to establish the alpha male. That's the way those old school umpires looked at it, too, is this is my game behind the plate. I'm running this game, and you guys are players here, and I'm in control of this. And, you know, it's almost like they're trying to be the dad of all the kids out there. And I understand that to a sense, but at the same time, you know, that's my livelihood, and I'm trying to make a living out here. Don't hold a grudge against me because, you know, I might have said that pitch is a strike and you might have disagreed. And then there was other umpires where I knew, hey, if I saw them the day before and had a nice conversation with them and, you know, asked them how the golf game was or where they went to dinner or how their kids are doing, I might get a pitch off the plate away. So, you know, there was a little bit of give and take, and I think that's the same in every sport. You see it in basketball with guys and hockey, you know, the ability, football for sure. I mean, the ability to get a holding call or, you know, a rough in the passer from a certain quarterback who might say, hey, watch this guy, he keeps hitting me. Well, you know, that's part of it, too. You know, it's part of the whole thing. And until you have robot umpires, that's not going to change anything.
With Ryan Dempster, he's going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in June down in St. Mary's. Obviously, a big part of the discussion surrounding baseball right now are these big free agents who are still unsigned. Pitchers and catchers report in a week. You know, full-blown spring training is up and running in like 2 weeks. If you were in their situation, you know, Harper, Machado, Keuchel, Kimbrel, this close to camp without having a contract, would you be nervous? Would you be able to play it cool? How would you be handling this situation?
Yeah, I'd be nervous. I mean, depends. I don't know what their offers are, right? We shouldn't know. It's not fair to them, for anybody to know their offers other than the teams that's presented them to them. So, but I would be nervous. I'm not nervous if I'm Bryce Harper. I feel like it's already been known that he's got a $300 million offer from the Nationals. But listen, I mean, Manny Machado, some things happen in the postseason where you might have cost yourself $50, $60, $70 million by not running some balls out and kicking some guys. And that's just life, man. That's what happens. But I'm nervous if I'm some guys, some of these pitchers who don't have deals and, you know, whether or not they set the bar too high on themselves, thought, hey, look at, you know, inflation and every contract's going up every year. But I actually saw a really interesting thing this morning on MLB Network, and they were talking about $200 million plus deals. And out of all of the $200 million plus deals that have been done, Alex Rodriguez, Giancarlo Stanton, Prince Fielder, Albert Pujols, all of these guys, they've only combined for one World Series. Mm-hmm. And that was 2009 with the New York Yankees. So teams are smart. Do I want to spend $300 million on one player, or do I want to get four really good players and keep players I have for that kind of money? So, you know, it's about winning and losing, and I think teams do that. And I understand the players' side of the business, and I understand trying to, you know, get as much as you can. But, you know, at the same time, just because you have youth on your side, there's something about a track record and being a winning player and doing those things. And you know, I think Bryce Harper is an incredible talent and has a chance to do some really special things in this game. And I'm sure a lot of teams would like to have him, but that's just a little too pricey for some teams.
What kind of advice do you think Harry Carey would have for Bryce Harper, Ryan?
$300 million. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, I would never have to leave my house again. I could buy so much Budweiser, I literally could build a pipeline from the Busch Anheuser factory in St. Louis all the way to my tap in my kitchen.
That sounds like great advice, Harry.
I'd say take it. That's just me, though. I have simple demands. An ice cold beer and a nice meal is all I'm looking for.
We need that as a part of the speech of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir.
Please bring Harry to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
You never know.
Yeah, congrats. Hey, and thank you for doing this today, Ryan.
Thank you very much. And congratulations to the other guys, too, to Rob Thompson and Gord Ash and to Jason Bay, who I competed against for so many years. And I'm thrilled to go in with them, and I'm honored to join the guys that are already in there. So thank you guys for having me on.
You got it. There he is, Ryan Dempster, with a great Harry Carey.
Wow.
Those are tough, man. Harry Carey's tough. I wasn't sure if he was going to come out guns blazing on that either.
He didn't flinch. He just doubled down. He had that in his back
pocket.
It
was like
pocket.
I was talking to Harry Carey. I know.
That was hilarious.
That's just me. Set up a pipeline from Anheuser-Busch right to the tap in my kitchen.
That was awesome.
Imagine a sink of beer. Like, that, it's not water, it's beer
you
is
just
coming out.
Run the tap.
I guess it would be a tap, in other words. It's but impressive. You know what I mean. It's like built into the kitchen. It's actually
like wired right in, not just a keg. It's wired right in.
Yeah. Constantly pouring out. The piping is pints of beer.
That was brilliant.
That was outstanding. Shout out to everyone going in, including our good buddy Gord Ash, who's in here a lot. So Gord Ash going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in June. Jerry's After Dark and our best bets brought to you by Proline. Leafs in action tonight. We'll tee that up as well. We'll get to that next.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Just gets creepier with this guy. Jerry's After Dark debuted last week. He comes with the heat, usually at 5:30. Today it was at 6, but if we missed anything...
He definitely needs to make up for it today.
Yeah.
What did we miss?
Well, there's a few people that have written something in here. Paul asking Jerry's percentage that the Leafs meet the Habs in the first round. What is the percentage? Because Paul believes it's going to happen.
22%. I think Boston's coming on.
But the thing is, we're going to give a percentage, but isn't there actually some kind of mathematical percentage of it?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Due to the standings? I'm going to say 40%.
Yeah, I like Boston here.
I'd rather go 100% because maybe we could toot around in that series. And
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Be
nice.
I would
love to see that happen. And the Habs, you know, full credit to them. They've been a lot better than I thought they would be. We haven't talked a lot about them.
Noodles,
you know,
called
They just keep plugging along.
Well, they, you know, they're a hardworking team.
Well, and Leafs are at the Bell Center Saturday night. That'll only the second time they're going to meet. They met opening night. They still got three games left against the Habs. Next two weekends, I believe they play them. Next two Saturday nights. But I'm on Boston here, too.
Mm-hmm.
25%. It's not an impossibility.
No, it's not.
Sure.
That's why I was in the 20s.
It's one of those combinations. Mm-hmm. Like, the Leafs aren't locked in.
No, but it just
to either
it looks
second
like,
or third.
It looks like that's where it's trending.
Yeah. So there you have it. Jerry's After Dark. There's a couple of other ones, too.
We can slide in a quick one.
The Leafs will not play in a shootout this year. Only 0%. Team in the league without a shootout.
0%. They'll probably have five coming down the stretch.
No,
tighter games, lots to play for.
They'll have one, though.
Yeah.
Because I think their three-on-three game's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, and they give up a lot three-on-three, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not 0% because we've gone this far. There's 30 games left.
Yeah.
10%, though. At some point, it's going to happen. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I'm on Brooklyn at home over Denver. Milwaukee big over the Washington Wizards. And Houston rolls into Sacktown and gets a win tonight, laying 2 points. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game.
We're going to break down everything tomorrow. How many goals did Austin Matthews score in his first game?
4
p.m.
We'll chat then.